Okay, guys. Okay, guys. Thanks very much. Now, what you need to do is that still on? I've got to be really close, don't I? You need to open your Bibles to 1 Peter, which is up near the back. If you count backwards, you've got Revelation. Then there's a little one called Hey Jude, and then you got 3 John, 2 John, 1 John, 2 Peter, 1 Peter. And you want chapter 1 of 1 Peter. Everyone happy? Okay. Now, once you've found 1 Peter chapter 1, in a minute, we're going to read from verse 13, but Jesus told a parable, a story, in Matthew's Gospel, and we've got a little bit of a DVD of a modern-day telling of that story or parable, okay? We're going to have a quick watch of that, okay? You might recognise the story. You might. That's cool. Then Ruth's going to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, and then we're going to have Bible talk from that passage, okay? So, time to listen, time not to talk, time to watch the DVD and listen to the Bible. Thanks, James.
There we go, Jack. 6 hours straight has been working this thing. Nothing. Can you believe it? I'll tell you how to give all the companies out of these phone measures. Now, I made some progress with some music. Pressure dial is still on. A big discrepancy in each one is set. Oh, what's up? Jack. Freaking Shrapnel Clouds. Why was the one statistic in every 1,000? I look at this backup in the system. Late generation 20. How old is this ship?
You've now found the ship's Jack.
I think it's just typical of government contractors giving us out-of-date control systems. Look at this symmetrical alignment, and not to mention the rest.
Jack, it is what it is. And what it is broken. And yeah, it's pretty bad. You know, in spite of this,
alright, 4 hours and a bit of luck, get this on the floor and broken again. That should be 8 hours. 72, to be conservative.
The rescue drone comes in 20 minutes, Jack, and it's our only way out of here. So let's be ready now. Have you got your things together, Jack?
Yeah, I was around the living room. It's cute. I have you got here. Can you imagine what the world is? Look, I'm going. So, how long have we got?
ETA is 10 minutes. So, it's going to be delayed.
How much?
Doesn't say.
Oh!
What?
I've got the spirit.
I don't have to give back. Cowboy schools, he knows that I'm not tank for tourists. Chuck, you've got to get another tank. Now,
get on the side of the ship
and run fast.
Okay, 1 Peter. Everything fell apart up the front. 1 Peter chapter 1.
Verses 13 to 16. So starting at verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy.
That's right. Let's pray, shall we? Let me get this sorted out. Okay, let's pray. Dear God, even though we don't deserve it, we ask that you would please speak to us now to understand a bit more of you and a bit more about how we should live now that we know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, it's the last night on grace, God's gigantic grace, and I thought we'd start with a little bit of a summary, a bit of a recap. It's a little bit unfair to you who haven't heard all my talks, but for those who have basically heard all my talks, you guys have the upper hand. All right, I have a prize here. Okay, it could be your first Easter Bunny for the year. All right, who can give me my definition of what is grace? Yes, it's got to be exact. Come up here. Come up here. All right. Say it again into the microphone, everyone.
God's free and undeserved kindness to guilty rebels who only deserve punishment.
Is she right? Yes, round of applause. Woo! There it is. Someone's been listening well. Grace, there it is up there. God's free and undeserved kindness shown to guilty rebels who deserve only punishment. Nice work. Very, very good. Okay. Now, also just to help us to remember where we've come from, I've got some slides up here of where we've got come so far. So, the whole aim of this series on grace is I've been wanting to try and expand your minds to just how big, how gigantic grace is. And so if you remember the first week we started with saving grace, the fact that you and I are saved from God's anger, God's wrath, not because of what we do, but because what God has done for us in Jesus. So we're saved by grace. That's the first grace. The second grace is God continues to provide for us by grace. And the logic in Romans 8 goes, if God has given us Jesus, which is the most valuable thing, as if he's not going to give us other little stuff. So as if Jesus has given us, if God's given us like $200, if we ask for another 5 cents, as if he's not going to give us that. All right, that's the logic. God continues to provide for us by grace. Third grace is teaching grace. Grace actually saves us, and then it continues to teach us. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and it teaches us to say yes to self-control and being upright and to live godly lives. Teaching grace. Grace teaches us. The next grace we looked at is helping grace. All right. The fact is, you and I can talk to God anytime, any place, anyhow. Why? Because we deserve it? No. Because God has graciously said, Jesus, you're the go-between, you're the mediator, and so that I and you can talk to God at any time through Jesus. All right? The next grace we looked at was sharing grace. God graciously gives you and I gifts. And what are we to do with those gifts? We are to share those gifts with others, serve others. And as we do that, God's grace kind of like flows through us. All right? Pretty incredible stuff. Grace, it's massive, isn't it? We're saved by grace. God provides by grace. He teaches by grace. He also helps us by grace, and we share God's grace. And so it brings us to tonight's talk, which is all about future grace. The great thing that the Bible says in the passage tonight is this. We have been given so much grace, but guess what? There is more to come. All right? And so we need to be longing, guys. Now, I remember when I was a teenager. When you're a teenager, you spend a lot of time looking forward. All right? Looking forward. When I was a young teenager, I was looking forward to getting more pocket money. I was looking forward to staying up later. I was looking forward to going to parties. I was looking forward to not having to have a babysitter or a big brother look after me, that I could stay home by myself. I was looking forward to getting my driver's license. I was looking forward to finishing school. I was looking forward to getting my own money and a job, and I was looking forward to getting my own car. As a teenager, I spent a lot of time looking forward. And as Christians, we also should be looking forward all the time. Looking forward. What are we looking forward to? Let's have a look at 1 Peter 3. It starts off with that first word in verse 13, therefore. And whenever you see a therefore in the Bible, you've got to ask, what is it therefore? Okay? What is it therefore? A therefore says, in light of everything that I've just said, this. Now, what has Peter just said? Verses 3 to 12, he's basically said this, guys. You are saved by grace. God is good. All right? Which is what we've been doing all term, all right? You've been saved by grace. God is good. Therefore, what? Let me read it, and I'm going to highlight the really important bit. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. You see it there on your outline. We're going to start at halfway through the verse where it says, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. God has given us so much grace, but this part of the Bible says God has got more to give us. God has already given us so much. What else could we get? Stacks. Stacks more. God has got more grace to give us. All right? It's almost as if we're in Christmas Eve. All right? You know Christmas Eve. It's a pretty exciting time. In one sense, you've already been given a lot. You've gone to parties, breakup parties, farewell parties, all right? But you know that the next day there's going to be more to come. Well, the Christian life's a little bit like that. We're kind of like on Christmas Eve, where God gives us so much, and yet we know when we enter the next stage, it may not be tomorrow, we don't know when it's going to be, but when we are with God, we're going to have even more grace. What's this grace? Peter doesn't really tell us. But it's stuff like being with God face to face. It's stuff like getting rid of these old cruddy bodies and having new resurrection bodies. It's like not having to struggle with sin anymore, not having to struggle to do the right thing. You're going to do it almost automatically. It's going to be like no more pain or suffering in the world. That's the future grace God has got for us. And it's all wrapped up in a place we call heaven, isn't it? Guys, if you're a Christian, you should be longing for, looking forward to, anticipating, getting ready for heaven. You've got to be prepared. That's kind of what that DVD was all about. Jesus told a story about be ready for when I come back. And you don't want to not be ready, because if you miss out on heaven, mate, you are stuffed. And so let me ask you, are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you longing for heaven? Well, if you are, 1 Peter says there's stuff you're going to do. And we go back to the beginning of verse 13. The first thing you've got to do, you'll see it there on your outline as well, is you have to prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds for action. That's the first thing you do to prepare for the future grace. Now, this kind of prepare your mind for action, in the original language, it actually means, literally, gird up your loins. All right? Gird up your loins. Now, you know what guys in the ancient Near East used to wear, all right? They used to wear stuff like this. All right, this is where it kind of dresses, all right? That's what we call a dress, all right? And if you wanted to kind of get ready for action, perhaps have to lift something up or run, what you had to do is you had to kind of hitch up your skirt, girls perhaps still do it today, all right, and kind of tuck it in under your kind of your belt, all right, and that'd be girding up your loins for action, all right? That's what this little phrase is, but they kind of make it nice, all right? What it means is, guys, roll up your sleeves, pull your finger out, get moving, get cracking, prepare your minds for action. In other words, be spiritually prepared, get your brain into gear, get ready to serve God and to meet God. Guys, this is why we have the Bible every week at Salt. This is why we do Samotas. This is why we have Bible study, is to prepare your minds for actions. It is to gird up your loins. That's why we do it. And it's important because you've got to do that to be ready to meet God face to face. Prepare your minds for actions. That's the first thing to do to get ready for future grace. The second thing, again in verse 13, prepare your minds for actions. Next, be self-controlled. Guys, we've got to learn more and more to control ourselves. Not to be out of control, but to be disciplined, be in control. You know what it's like when people are out of control. Okay, you've seen it, you know it yourself. There are times when we don't always do what we know we should do. That's being out of control. All right, and you'll see it in parties when people get drunk and on drugs and all that kind of stuff, and they just are totally out of control. We need to be exactly the opposite of that. We've got to be in control, self-controlled, not controlled by other things, by temper, by the people around us, by peer group. We've got to be self-controlled. Self-control. What's the next thing we've got to do? We've got to prepare our minds for action, gird our loins. We've got to be self-controlled. Then skip down to 14. We've got to, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. In other words, don't go back living the way you used to before you're a Christian. That's what this means. Don't go back to the old ways of living. In other words, we've got to be different, guys. We've got to live differently. We've got to stand out at school. We don't just go with the flow. In fact, we do exactly the opposite. What do? We swim against the tide. That's what we do. We have to swim against the tide, which is really hard, isn't it? But that's what we've got to do. We've got to swim against the tide. Guys, don't conform. Don't do what everyone else does. We've got to be different. All right? Got to swim against the tide. Thank you. Got it. All right. So that's what we don't do. We don't do what everyone else does. What do we do? The next verses tell us we've got to be holy. Be holy, verse 15 and 16. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now what does it mean to be holy? It means to be separate. It means to be different, to be sinless, to be put apart, set apart for a special purpose. In other words, if you want to imagine what holiness looks like, think of your toothbrush. Because the toothbrush is holy. Let me explain. You don't just use your toothbrush for any old purpose. All right? You don't kind of think, I've got to clean the car today, I'll grab the toothbrush. Or I've got to clean the dunny today, I'm going to use my toothbrush. Or, you know, I've got to go clean the dog, I'm going to use my toothbrush. You don't do that. Because your toothbrush is special. It has a special purpose. That is to clean your teeth. And so you don't just use it for any old ordinary purpose. It is set apart. It is holy to do a special job. God says, as Christians, we are holy. We are set apart for a special job. What is that job? To serve God and glorify Him. And so don't use your lives as a toothbrush to go cleaning dogs. In other words, don't conform to the way of the world. Don't just live like the way everyone else does in their filth and their scum and their disobedience, rebellion of God. We are holy, we are set apart, and we're to be holy like God. God hates sin. We need to hate sin. God always does what's right and wise and good and loving. We've always got to do what's wise and good and right and loving. And that's really hard, but that's what we've got to strive to do. See it there in verse 16. Be holy as I am holy. Guys, this is how we as Christians look forward to the future grace. Now let me say this really quickly and I'm going to close up. If you're not yet a Christian here tonight, what I probably said just then probably didn't make a lot of sense. But let me go back to the very first slide for you, and that is, God saves us by grace. What that means is, you and I, according to the Bible, are sinners and we deserve punishment. But God says, you trust in Jesus, he takes the penalty for you, he dies on the cross for you so you can be right with me, grace. And you can be saved by that. If you're not a Christian here tonight, that's the thing you've got to remember. All right, and chat to me, chat to a leader, chat to the friend who came you came with tonight, talk to them about grace. But for everyone else, guys, we have got more grace coming. We are on Christmas Eve. There is future grace to come when we're going to be in heaven with God. What are you to do? Look forward to that day. Prepare for that day and then be different. Gird up your loins of your mind. Be self-controlled. Don't conform. Be holy. Guys, that's the way we're to live. Let me tell you one last story to finish with. Okay? Comes out of this book called A Hell of a Life by John Dixon. This is an old cover. You've probably got a newer cover. If you haven't read this book, this is a really good book, and I recommend you read this book. It's probably going to be on sale at Kickstart, at Kick, okay? So bring an extra $10. If it's more than $10, I'll pay the rest. Okay? Buy this book. Let me tell you a story that John tells really quickly. He said, I heard a story a while ago of a young soldier in Alexander the Great's army. Alexander the Great, powerful ruler of the whole entire universe, it seems, well, at least the world. Okay. Back before Jesus' time, all right? There was a young soldier in Alexander's army who made a very unwise career move. He went AWOL. In other words, he abandoned his duties and his position and fled at the sight of his enemies. The young man was soon found, however, and brought before the furious King Alexander. Can you imagine being that soldier? You'd be petrified, wouldn't you? You've just betrayed the most powerful man in the known world, and now you're standing in the palace right in front of him. The penalty was usually instant execution for this kind of betrayal, but for some reason the king wanted to question the man himself. The king eventually asked, "What is your name?" The young soldier nervously replied, your Majesty, my name too is Alexander." At this, the king was outraged. His traitor shared his name. Alexander the Great apparently then looked at the soldier right in the eyes and said some chilling words. He said, "Young man, change your life or change your name. Change your life or change your name." Guys, as Christians, we bear Jesus Christ's name. All right? We receive that name by grace. It's a privilege to have that name. But part of having that name, part of the responsibility of having that name, is that we need to be changing our life. How do we do it? We look forward to future grace. We prepare our minds for action. We are self-controlled and we are not conforming, but we are being holy. Now, let me say something really, really tough. If you're not someone as a Christian who is trying to do those things, I'm not meaning you have to do them perfectly, none of us do, I don't, you don't, your leaders don't. But if you're not someone who's trying, at least trying to do those things, you haven't understood grace. You haven't understood grace. Because if you bear the name Christ, you need to live for Christ. And if you're not prepared to live for Christ, let me say something even harder. Change your name. Grace is not cheap. It costs God stacks. And we can cheapen grace if we just say, yeah, I just want the good stuff, but I don't want to try the hard stuff. Guys, we need to swim against the tide. We need to gird up our loins. We need to be prepared, self-controlled. Don't conform. Let's be holy. These are tough things. Let's pray, ask God to help us, and then we've got stacks to talk about in our SAP group, haven't we? Let's talk to God. Dear God, our Father in heaven, thank you so much for grace, that we are saved by grace, that you provide for us by grace, that you teach us by grace, that you help us, that we can pray now because of grace, and that we can share your grace with others. And thank you that there is grace still to come, that we are on Christmas Eve, and that soon we can be with you in heaven. God, please help us to look forward to this day and to be prepared, to be self-controlled, not to conform, but to be holy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, let's go to SAP groups now for a couple of minutes. Nice work. I'm impressed. Good job.